welcome today to the Good Soldier Podcast. My name is Pastor Estevo Montoya of the Mountain View Baptist Church in Taos, New Mexico, and thank you for taking time to listen to the Good Soldier Podcast. And as I mentioned in the previous episode, I am in the transition of putting the website and the podcast under the umbrella of pleaforpower.com, and I apologize about the delay. I've had to work with some things with the host and different things like that, a lot of technical stuff, but I have things going and in order right now, and so I'm thankful to be able to record another podcast episode. And this podcast is going to be under the umbrella of pleaforpower.com, which is the first blog and website that I ever started for ministry. And this particular website at one point had over 10,000 visitors per month that were finding the website on places like Google and so forth. And we were able to share the gospel all over the world, literally. And I want to put everything back under the umbrella because I want to also write articles. And that's something I'm planning on doing here in the near future. And then also wanting to have other shows on the website. So Plea for Power will be the main umbrella website with the articles, and in that particular website there will be different shows. And so the Good Soldier Podcast will be one show under Plea for Power. There's several others that I want to also do. I want to do one that deals with evangelism and sharing the gospel, and it's going to be basically gospel preaching. I want to do another podcast titled The Pulpit Podcast, which will deal with homiletics and how to preach the Word of God and to study the Word of God. And then I want to get back to just the general Plea for Power podcast, which dealt with things like revival and church planting and evangelism. And I'm excited about these things, and I really look forward to seeing what the Lord is going to do with this podcast. And so just wanted to give you an update as to where things are, what the direction is, and how we want to move forward and so forth. And one of the things I want to also express is that this podcast is made possible by the Gospel Tract Ministry that I am a part of, and that also has taken a shift of direction as well, because in all reality, I'm thankful that we are able to make church invitations, but I really believe strongly in gospel tracts, and we don't see gospel tracts anymore. We have a lot of things that are out there that are meant to be marketing pieces for churches, but at the same time, we're not getting out a strong gospel message. And while these church invitations, in particular the ones that I used to make, the 3x5s, had several verses on the back of them, mentioned repentance, mentioned the resurrection, talked about hell, all those different things like that, I wanted to get something in the hands of people that they could read and understand the gospel that was more than just an invitation to church with just a couple verses. And so I had made 3 trifold gospel tracts that were meant to give a very clear explanation of the gospel. And I have moved everything over to www.gospeltractproject.org. And this is a project that I'm working on. And over the last 6 years, we have printed nearly 600,000 gospel tracts for churches across the country, and I want to, within the next year, by the end of 2018, I want to do more than that. Here's the thing. I average about 100,000 tracts per year. This year started slow, and I've only printed just a handful of gospel tracts, but I'm reading a book that talks about doing things bigger and so forth, and I said, well, man, I've only done 100,000 tracts. Why don't I just try to step it up to 1,000,000 gospel tracts? And so that is my goal, and that is a project, and I want to ask that you would pray about and consider being a part of this project and helping get the gospel to America, and going from 600,000 gospel tracts to, by the end of 2018, our ministry printing 400,000 gospel tracts to make it a total of 1,000,000 gospel tracts in 7 years' time is really the goal. And then from there, the next year, I want to try to do 1,000,000 in 1 year. And so I'm excited about this, and I hope that you would pray about this and really consider giving out gospel tracts. One thing to consider is that people still read gospel tracts. They really do. We were at a church planting conference last week, and we happened to meet a couple that was there at the hotel, and they had a very unique story, and I'm not going to get all the details, but the thought is this, that the man that I gave a gospel tract to, his father is dying of brain cancer, and this man himself has brain cancer, has four tumors. And I gave him a gospel tract that evening, and we planned on meeting with them the next morning and having breakfast with them. They're really neat people, and we wanted to try to witness to them and so forth. And the next morning, we were eating breakfast, and here he comes, and we're excited to see him. The wife wasn't able to make it down, but here he comes. And the very first thing he asked me was, "Do you believe there are two deaths?" And he went back to his room and read the gospel tract. And the gospel tract talked distinctly about the second death. And he read the entire thing. And he was under conviction. I wasn't able to lead him to the Lord, but I'm thankful that I gave him something that he could go and read and understand the gospel. Understand the gospel, not just a few verses with some bullet points, but he understood and was reading the gospel. Gospel tracts still work. And so I just want to encourage you with that. I spent a little more time than normal talking about this, but this is really not just something that I'm doing on the side, not just something because every once in a while we get some orders in and there's a little profit involved and it helps provide for my family. This is something that I practice myself and something that I am adamant about. And I want to get gospel tracts in the hands of people so they could hear the word of God, or rather read the word of God and understand what they're reading, rather than just having a real fancy invitation that is nothing but marketing the ministry with just three verses or four verses on the back. I don't think that is as profitable as we think it is. And really, if we want to reach people, let's give them the gospel. And now for this episode, I want to go ahead and really express something that's been on my heart for a while. And in the last episode, I talked about the fact that several men of God have passed away. And in their passing, we are challenged. We are challenged by their direction. We are challenged by their distinction. We are challenged by their doctrine. And we need to take heed to that which has been given unto us because they received it from previous generations. And people say, well, that's just old-fashioned. Well, my Bible teaches that we're to commit the same to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so we're just trying to propagate that which has been given for the last some 2,000 years. Nevertheless, the thought of dying has been on my heart very heavily, death, because of the preachers that have passed away. And not just the preachers, but I've known people that were, some not even saved, and some were, that have died in recent days. And I want to ask us, preacher, do we preach with an urgency? Do we preach with an urgency? A couple weeks ago, I was led of the Lord to preach out of the book of Hebrews, and I normally don't read one verse and preach. I try to read and go through the text and so forth, and I did highlight the previous verses and even the post verses around this verse that we all know, Hebrews 9:27. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And so last Sunday I preached about death, and I talked about several Sundays ago, and I really had just been impressed about death lately, not impressed with death, but impressed upon my heart to deal with death. And in the middle of church, a man from our service got up and walked outside. And I didn't know necessarily what was happening. And he came back in as soon as I was done preaching. And it's not normal for me to preach a sermon that's really focused on one verse. I like to go through it expositionally and so forth. But I only preached like maybe 23, 24 minutes. It wasn't a long service. We were done way before noon, and it wasn't like, but I had to preach what I had to preach, and when I was done preaching, I was done preaching. Let me just give you some advice, preacher. A long sermon doesn't mean a good sermon. A preacher once told me this: preach as long as God is in it. And I never forgot that. And whenever I wrapped up that sermon, I was like, I'm not going to try to stress this anymore. This is my point. Death is real, and so forth. And so we had the invitation, and we went about our way, and the man came back in, and he said, "Pastor, I'm sorry. I just I was under so much conviction. And his father was dying, and he wanted to make sure that his dad was saved. And he said he had to go outside and get some air because he was so worried about his father, and the sermon was so heavy on him. He only listened to about 10 minutes of the sermon, and it was just amazing to see God working. Well, in the midst of all this, that man went home and prayed for his father and called his dad. And his dad was dying of brain cancer, and he asked his dad again about his salvation. He said, "Look, Dad, I'm not here to talk about religion. I'm not here to talk about me versus you. Where do you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ?" And he was able to speak with his dad, and to make a long story short, he got assurance of his dad's salvation, because when his father found out that he had brain cancer, he had been witnessed to many times over, but when he found out he had brain cancer, he got alone with God, and he asked the Lord to save him. And so he got saved due to his son's witnessing, but he didn't know how to tell his son. And so when his son called him to make sure that his dad understood the gospel, the dad said, "Yes, I have repented, and I believe that Jesus died for me, and I asked him to save me from my sins, because I know I'm going to stand before him one day." And so he was so excited that his dad understood and received the gospel. That was on a Sunday. I get a call on a Thursday after service that the brother's father was no longer responding and hadn't responded in a couple days, literally just a couple days after his son spoke with him, and that he was probably going to die within the next 24 hours. And so I ran down to Española, New Mexico, where our sending church is, and the family couldn't afford a casket. We built a casket, and let me just say this, they don't teach you that in Bible college. And we went and built a casket for this man. Well, the man lasted a little bit longer than we thought he would, and so, you know, Friday rolled around, Saturday rolled around, we delivered the casket, Sunday came and we had church and so forth. They weren't in church, they were with the father. And then Monday, we get a text message. So here's this man and his father's dying, and we get a text message from the wife that her mother is not responding, and the ambulance is at the mother's house performing CPR. And so we rush over to the mother's house, and the mother died from this family. So here's a family in our church. The dad's dad is dying on Monday. Unexpectedly, the mother dies, and then the very next day, the dad dies. And so death became very real to this family. I want to say I'm thankful that that woman was saved, and I want to say I'm thankful that the father was saved. Both the mother's mother and the father's father were saved. But all this to say this, are we urgent? Are we urgent with the souls of those with whom we minister to? The Bible says that Moses, as he lifted up that serpent there in the wilderness, that he stood between the living and the dead. And preacher, I want to remind you of the fact that when you stand up and you get in that pulpit and you preach the word of God, that you're standing between the living and the dead. And there's people whose lives are in the balance and their souls are in the balance. And some people who even claim to be saved, but they're not. They go to your church and they hear the word of God. And I want to ask you, do you preach with an urgency that death is real? Do you preach with an urgency that heaven is real? Do you preach with an urgency that hell is real? Do you preach with an urgency that Jesus Christ could come back again? Do we have urgency in our preaching, preachers? I understand that we go and we sow the seed, and I understand that it takes time for that seed to germinate, and I understand that there's a process before fruit is even brought forth whenever you plant a seed. I understand that. I truly do. We've seen that in the church planting ministry, but I think that we have lost our urgency. We've lost it. And while we do our seminars and while we do our conferences, people are dying and going to hell. And we have our well-written outlines and our sermon series and all these things. And again, I'm not trying to knock those things. I'm really not. But I think somewhere along the way, we have lost our urgency and we have become professional speakers in our ministry. We need to get back to that urgency. We need to get back to that. I remember hearing Brother Wilkins preach over and over again, and he had urgency in his preaching. He had urgency in his preaching. Just last week, we went to a church planning conference, and we were only able to go for just one day. You say, why is that? Well, because all this stuff that I just told you happened last week, and the man died last Tuesday. And so Wednesday, we were burying him because it was a home burial. They had to bury him within 24 hours because there was no embalming or anything like that. And there was a wooden casket that we were able to make. And we saw this lifeless body there. And just the heartbreak of seeing the family crying because they lost the father in that home, the grandfather in that home. And it's so hard to see that, just the family weeping and mourning over this situation. And there was about 100 people at this funeral. As we stood in this man's yard in the dirt, I stood up and I preached the word of God to those people, people who I would have never met had it not been for the death of this man. And then he died of a brain tumor, of brain cancer, rather, just the spreading and so forth. And then I was able to meet a man at the church planning conference because we were at the funeral Wednesday, left after the funeral, got in too late to be in church that night, and the next day we went to the church planning conference, and we were able to meet a man by the name of Lee, and we were able to share the gospel with that man, and he had a brain tumor. And I was able to give that testimony to that. Here's a man who died with brain cancer, and he died saved, and you could know that you're saved as well. Urgency, urgency. At that church planning conference that Thursday night, as it wrapped up, there was a preacher by the name of Brother Hetzer, and he's a pastor in Idaho, and he preached about working while there is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. And he preached about urgency, and it just branded that in my heart. Oh, how I need urgency with people. We need urgency. Yes, we plant the seed. Yes, we sow the seed. Yes, we prepare our sermons. Yes, we are organized and diligent. Yes, but we need urgency in all of it. We need urgency in all of it. And so I want to challenge you, preacher. Are you urgent? Do people hear urgency in your voice? Do they hear concern? Do they hear a desire from you, pleading with them that these things are real? Do we have an urgency in our message? And so thank you for listening to the Good Soldier Podcast. Head over to www.goodsoldier.co and you can listen to previous episodes because there's a playlist there. And when you go there, there should be a little pop-up that comes up and you could join the newsletter if you haven't joined it already, and you can be notified whenever we release new podcast episodes. And so thank you, and may Christ bless you today.